If you like to use a Bible, not just to read it from the wall, if you had your Bible open at Romans chapter 12, that might help you, although we're also going to refer to some other scriptures as well. Katie, could you do me a favour and shut the door, love? I think it would be good to pray that we have that openness of mind that is needed as we come to God's word, that readiness to be changed and challenged. And don't forget, at the beginning of the service, I said to you, when you read your Bible, I'm going to ask you later, what sort of things you expect to be challenged as you read the Bible. Lord, we thank you that we are in a place that's been set aside for worship and mission and community activity. We thank you that as we come to you and the children come to you, you are here wanting to make yourself known. And we're utterly reliant on that, that God wants to reveal himself, that God wants to speak, that you are looking for people that are open in their mind to listen to you, that are open in their spirit, and that are seeking and ready to be changed. So we pray, Holy Spirit, that you will be here, active in our midst. And we pray for Jesus to be revealed before us in the word and in the breaking of the bread. We pray in his name. Amen. Our theme for the year is the theme of reaching out. And by now you should be beginning to really get in gear and thinking about what that means. Today, we're continuing to think out about reaching out for change. And that declaration that was made both in the song that we've just heard, played in the offering, I'm making everything new, which is a declaration that's repeated by Jesus from the throne in his glory. So we don't just think about Jesus being bodily raised from the dead. We think about Jesus ascending so that he may fill the whole universe with his presence. And this declaration, I am making everything new. And so that fits in very much with our theme of thinking about change, transformation, or another word that we could use is metamorphosis. I'm making all things new. And those verses that have come several times in our service that Paul actually writes to the Romans are all about change. So then, my brothers and sisters, because of God's great mercy to us, I appeal to you, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to his service and pleasing to him. This is the true worship that you should offer. Do not conform yourselves to the standards of this world, but let God transform you inwardly by a complete change of your mind. Then you will be able to know the will of God. People so often say, I want to know the will of God. Well, here's the key in. Then you will be able to know the will of God, what is good and is pleasing to him and is perfect. Already, we've been challenged by this passage in the service. Now, we didn't have James Middleton read it, who read it beautifully and obviously been highly groomed for the wedding, not just in his appearance, but in his speech, but he read it very powerfully. People were challenged by that, but we read it out. Here, Paul challenges the Christians of his day in Rome to be changed. And he says the only way you're going to be changed is actually by having your minds renewed or refreshed, made over again, so that you think differently and that you think differently from your context, your culture, the world in which you live. In March, on the 23rd of March, Becker also challenged the church here to discover how the mind of Christ worked. The church is told that they can come to, that they can have the mind of Christ, but she encouraged us to think about how the mind of Christ worked and to copy Jesus in the way we reach out to others and in the way that we live. How does Jesus think? What attitudes does he have? And we saw Jesus very aware of power and challenging the powers but living a life of service. And last week I spoke both from Luke and Acts, both books written by Dr. Luke, and especially Luke 24, verse 45, when Jesus raised from the dead, we're told, opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. And we focused in on this idea of mind expansion, getting the mind, the brain, to work and think in ways that it hasn't done before, and particularly to understand the scriptures. We need Jesus to understand the scriptures. That is a basic principle of biblical interpretation. We read that during a period of 40 days, that's the time we're remembering at the moment, nearly 6 weeks after his suffering and resurrection, Jesus appeared to the disciples, not once, not just occasionally, but repeatedly, and he talked to them about the kingdom of God. He'd even spent 3 years with them, but their understanding had been very, very limited. And now he wanted them to understand in a way where the mind was expanded, because Jesus was seen by them and touched by them and felt by them. We know that Jesus came to redeem people from all nations, to change human minds and actions, and to bring about a new heaven and earth. And it begins now. Our inheritance begins now. The new heaven and earth, what we are building now in the world, will be incorporated into the redeemed heaven and earth. So it's crucial how we live now. And as Luke wrote both his gospel and then the book of Acts, he emphasizes that Jesus began to do and teach various things until his ascension into heaven. But then he gave instructions and teachings. He drew up a clear manifesto, if you like, of what he came to do. And he's not going to change it. He's not forming some sort of party that is a compromise. He is carrying out his manifesto. And also, he clearly spoke to the disciples, you and me, about the part we are to play in carrying out that plan. It's not just a few people in the church. It relies on every person who says they are following Jesus. Not a priestly caste, or just the pastors, or just the evangelists, but all the disciples of Jesus. Now, Luke didn't tell us what scriptures, what writings, graphos he opened up, but along with the Good News translation, we can be sure that he was opening up the Old Testament scriptures and giving the meaning. We cannot interpret the Old Testament scriptures unless we do it in the light of the coming of Jesus Christ. Too many Christians do not interpret the Old Testament in the light of the coming of Jesus. And that's incredibly important, so that people can make statements which just do not make sense. Some people claim, for instance, that they're now building the Temple of David. Well, the Temple of David has been built and fallen. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So many people, because they don't really know Jesus and the New Testament, get confused and get caught up in some of the Old Testament teachings. Even this meal, because of Jesus, is an interpretation of many things that happen in the Old Testament. We no longer now need to sacrifice anymore. We no longer need to circumcise, unless it's for medical or cultural reasons, but it's not for Christian reasons. Right? So we need to understand in the light of the coming of Jesus. We accept that the disciples had spent 3 years in the company of Jesus. They'd witnessed amazing things, but still their minds needed to be open to the clear teaching of Scripture and the plan of God. And I must assume that even though some of you have been Christians for decades, you and I need the work of Jesus and the work of the Holy Spirit to better understand the ways of God. And if we have lost that hunger and that humility, which acknowledges that, then we have to get back and we have to say to the Lord, Lord, I need to learn. Teach me. Open my mind. And if we may have even forgotten, because we're so hit with the teachings of the world through workplace and advertising and all the cultural patterns of the day, then we need to go back to encountering Jesus in the Word, because he wants to change our very way of thinking so that we are not conformed to this world's way of thinking. Christians need to know not just the bare facts, they need to be able to interpret the facts. We don't tick a box to say what we believe. It's meant to be written in our hearts, our mind, and our understanding. And so this is vital, this transformation, this changed way of thinking, this learning from the Lord. And if we are to go out from this season of waiting, then we need to be anointed for ministry by the Spirit, but also to know the Word of God. Jesus interprets scriptures and teachings to his disciples so that they will then reach out for the Holy Spirit and reach out to witness. That desire comes from having been with Jesus. We are witnesses to Jesus and the resurrection. He opened their minds. He enabled them through scripture and his teaching about the Holy Spirit and the kingdom of God to see things they had not understood before, because their minds, like ours, had been conditioned to think in other ways. Many of you have had years of education, and a lot of you have had secular education, and the way the world is looked at is not God's way. Some of you may have had Christian education that is not particularly biblical, and you may need to come to the Bible again and see what is God's way. We need to go back to what God teaches through his word. Just because something is labeled Christian doesn't mean it's truly of Jesus Christ or truly of his word. Also, we're all influenced by so much in our culture. The ways of thinking, the things we listen to, the music, the programs, everything is going into our minds. And most of us, you know, now are born with headphones in our ears. You know, there's so much going into our minds, but the Lord would like to get a look in. The Lord would like to speak to us. And that's one of the reasons we come to church on Sunday, is to be taught and to listen. And here we explain how we can look at the Bible. But it's also why we try to encourage people to be in groups with others and themselves reading and studying and thinking. Because we are not to be children. We're not to keep going over the same basic stuff that perhaps we learnt in Sunday school. We are to mature in our faith. We are to set an example for those that are still young in the faith. We are to think differently. When I was a child, I thought like this. Now I have become an adult, I think differently. Can you say that about your Christian life? That you are growing up. Your mind is being controlled and changed by God's way of thinking. Scientific worldviews, Western views, Enlightenment views, African traditions, all of these things have much to teach us, but must be looked at in the light of God's thinking and ways. Isaiah, the prophet, speaks for God. You don't think as I think. Your ways are not my ways. That's not saying that's good. That's a description, and it's God saying that he wants us to begin to think and act like him. Jesus wants to open our minds to understand the plan of God and where we fit into it. Just a quickie. Let's see who's been thinking. You can stick your hand up, it would help. As you read the Bible, just give me one. Don't be greedy and pick loads. What sort of attitudes can you expect to be changed? What sort of things are you going to look at differently? What have you discovered as you read the Bible? What things have changed in your mind, your outlook? Who's going to start us off? And don't say everything, please. It's so boring and it sounds so preachy. Give me one example. Becca. Oh, God, that's powerful. Where is the seat of power? Thinking about where power lies. Thank you. Henry, you had another one?
Show me not myself, and show me my Saviour. and make the book live to me. And that is my prayer every time I read a portion of scripture, and in the morning, or in the evening, and verses, and sometimes you open your Bible, and it's just the word that's needed.
Okay, I'm going to pick one thing out of the many things you've said. Your prayer from the chorus was that the Bible would show you, not just your Saviour. The Bible shows us what we are like. So thank you for that. Anything else? Liz? 1 Corinthians 13. All right, go on then. You're being very preachy. What about it? What does it challenge? Okay, so the Bible would challenge the ways I behave and to live differently. Yes, thank you. Good. Anything else? Chris?
Bless those that hurt me.
Okay, it's going to challenge us about those people that hurt us and how we behave and whether we retaliate and so on. So that's an aspect of behaviour. It's going to challenge me about those that hurt me. Wow. Risky. Don't read it. Anne? Okay, so it might challenge you about obedience, children to parents, and of course if you read on, it then tells parents how they're to treat their children. So it's going to affect our family relationships and our relationship with God. Thank you, that's brilliant. Jeff?
Who God is.
Okay, it's going to challenge ideas we have about God and correct some of the wrong ideas we have. And people have got really weird ideas about God, haven't they? When they say, I don't believe in God, I always say, what sort of God don't you believe in? Yo, I don't believe in that one either, you know, but ideas about God. Anything else? Helen? Okay, why I do things. It's going to ask me why I do certain things. I've also put down that it's going to challenge me about how I do my job, the workplace, how I treat my neighbour, and so on. It's going to challenge absolutely everything. It's going to challenge who I vote for and how I make my decisions about power and voting. It's going to, if I'm reading it with understanding, challenge all sorts of things. Now, in this letter to the Romans, Paul has argued they need to give the whole of themselves to God as a living sacrifice. Jesus gave himself as a living sacrifice. He died for us. That we are transformed by the renewing of our minds. And he argued that the world could squeeze you into its way of thinking unless you resist it. He said you need to be aware of the pressures you are under to conform to certain ways of thinking. That doesn't mean that you're just being encouraged to be a free thinker and do just what you want. He's saying no, you need to have your mind renewed so that you think like God and you live according to his will. Not doing your own thing, not being a bohemian or libertarian or just plain awkward, but that you are being like him. Now, Paul knew this because he'd gone through a whole system of education. He was a Pharisaical Jew, and the system was so strict that he couldn't recognize that Jesus was the Messiah when he came. And after he had his encounter with the risen Jesus, he went off for 3 years, probably into the Arabian desert, to rethink his whole worldview, to go back and reread the scriptures that he'd been told meant certain things and read them differently. He took 3 years out before he even began to pass on the message because he knew he'd been so conformed to a religious system that he couldn't recognize Jesus. So he was challenging them. And he's saying, really, in verse 2, you need to cooperate on this. You need to cooperate with this transformation of your mind, the way you think, this process of changing your attitudes, your values, the way you live. And once you do that, then you will be able to discover the will of God, what is good as far as God is concerned, what is pleasing to God, what is his perfect will. You will discover this in cooperation with God, as you even lay down your way of thinking. And a lot is going to have to change. And as somebody said, I think it was Pete, transformation takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. It can begin, but it's a process. of transformation. Now, the idea of transformation, of metamorphosis, of change, was very present in the Greek pagan world. Some of the Greeks even thought the gods could take on a human body and appear very strong or very seductive or whatever, that they could take on a transformed way. And there are all certain views about transformation. Even in Africa and many other countries, people believe that witches or spirits can take on a different form, a familiar. So we were told the story the other day by Stuart Cathro, who's the pastor at Keystone, of him driving in, was it Zambia? Zambia, and being told to drive at 60 miles an hour and keep going. And a goat shot in front of him, and he did a brilliant skid. He was very honoured the senior pastor had let him drive his 4x4. He missed the goat, and he stopped. And he was told by the pastor, next time you keep driving. So he's thinking, why? And Sam Garn, who's a Ghanaian from the Downs, said, well, the reason why he would have been told is because many Africans would have thought it was a spirit or a witch's familiar, and you just keep going and drive through them. So that was an interesting interpretation, that some people believe, not educated Nigerians, obviously, but that a spirit could take on a form and you keep going. We think of it in Britain about the black cat, don't we? And things like that. This view that things can take different forms. And so it is interesting that Jesus is transfigured, transformed, metamorphosized in front of his disciples. But the words that are used are very clever, the Greek words, and they're chosen carefully because they make the point that Jesus was not changed as one of the Greek gods was, but that he was actually altered, his appearance changed. Only, we read, his face shone like the sun. They knew exactly who he was. That's the same word. He was transformed in front of them. And here is Paul saying, you need to be transformed. You need to be morphed. You, in your mind and your attitudes, need to take on a different form. You need to behave differently. And it's a very strong point that's coming to us. And there is an obligation, according to the New Testament, that you and I should undergo change. Somebody said to me, both last Sunday and in Meeting Point, I don't like change. Well, the answer is, then you're going to find it very tough as a Christian. Because the toughest changes are not whether you sing different hymns. The toughest changes are not how you organize your worship rooms. But the toughest changes are whether you will allow yourself to become a person who lives in love instead of unforgiveness. Changes like that. They're changes of our character. And I don't like change either. But I find the Lord says to me, you must be changed by the renewing of your mind. So change is not always easy. But the Lord wants to work deep changes within us. Not just a visual change. We spoke last week about the visage de pantomime, the hyperplasticity. Some people can change their face to look like a different person, but a real change inside them. That's the obligation, to be changed. And this table is all about change. It's about covenant, that Jesus has died for us. We can do nothing of ourselves to effect justification. But it's also about change, that we ourselves give our whole selves to God for the renewal of our minds. God wants to be heard. God chooses to reveal himself, to lead people into new understandings and new allegiances, to be loyal to Jesus, not loyal to the world. He comes to change us. You may have heard, and I hope you've weighed, the prophetic exhortation that's come 2 weeks on the trot. My sheep know my voice. They will not follow another. And that's a key question. Do we know the voice of the Lord Jesus? So that we won't follow another that would lead us into danger. We know the Lord Jesus. And we follow his voice. How can we cooperate, having our ways of thinking made new? I want to just suggest to you that there are two main ways. They're actually written down here. Through engaging with the Word and as we worship. Now, Sunday by Sunday, we demonstrate how to read the Bible. But as I said to you, I have been challenged by Harry's challenge slipped in to the newsletter about how we instruct people on how to read the Bible and how can they engage with that. And so next Sunday, Harry, you'll be pleased to know we have our first workshop on how not to read the Bible. And encourage anyone that can stay and have a snack. We'll have a session, interactive workshop, some teaching, then some interaction. Katerina has also asked me for this about 3 months ago. How to read the Bible and how not to read the Bible. And so that will run from 12:30 to 2 next Sunday. We are encouraged, Paul encourages Timothy, that he would study to know God's word so that he could divide it correctly and not wrongly, because so many people wrongly divide God's word. But God is looking for a heart that's open to him, not just for intellectuals. He's looking for people with a passion that seek to hear his voice, not to be clever, but to know what God is saying. So if you are interested in hearing God's voice clearly, getting to know how to read the Bible and how not to read it, then I encourage you to be there next Sunday. The Word needs to be opened up to us by the Holy Spirit, who we are told will lead us into all truth. It is not just an intellectual process, it is a spiritual process. Many parts of our mind are in darkness to the truths of God, and we need the Holy Spirit to lead us into truth. As an old hymn by Eliza Hewitt says, that we still on occasion sing, Henry, but maybe we should sing more, from the 18th century, Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me, more about Jesus. This is a woman who suffered from spinal disease for many, many years in great pain, and she just wanted to know, and there's that lovely Trinitarian statement, Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. But it is not just through engaging with the Word, but it is also as we worship together with other people and in solitude, that it is as we worship that we are transformed. And God speaks and reveals himself not just in some ways to get some sort of reaction, but to get a response, that we might be changed. And worship changes us as we are open and honest. If we look at God and lift up our faces open and honest before God, if we contemplate the Lord, then we are changed degree by degree. We become more Christ-like. The process of transformation is both through engaging with the Word and through worship. Some people would say it's Word and Spirit. Some people would say it's worshipping in spirit and in truth, but there's that combination of word and worship. And in some ways, I believe it's those two practices of studying God's word and worshipping Christ, often in the company of others, not just on our own, which is important because of correction and things like that when we get it wrong, that brings about the transformation of our minds, that will bring real change to the way we think, the way we act, the way that we live. We need refreshment from God. We've had two nights of little bits of rain, little bits of refreshment. And our garden has been transformed from being a beautiful mass of greenery to having dozens and dozens and dozens of rosebuds open up throughout the whole garden. Sorry for those of you who don't have a garden. If you go into the park at the moment, it's a bit of a turmoil there. But just the refreshment that's come on the gardens and on the trees has just opened up all that potential. And you know, our minds can be opened up like that. That which is embryonic, that which is screwed up like a bud, can open and blossom and change. And the Lord is looking for those that really know they need to learn and want to learn. and are open, to have their minds opened, to be changed, because that is the sort of sacrifice God is looking for, a total and utter one, that we're prepared to have the way we think changed and our very attitudes. We're going to move into a time of response and communion, and I'd like us just to be quiet, and we'll allow space for stillness. And if anybody wants to bring any prophetic word or challenge, please do that. Or read a scripture, please do that. But it is a time for stillness before we renew our commitment with the Lord. And at some point in that, I'd like also to read something. But let's just have a time of reflecting. Because one of the ways we need to deal with God's word is to reflect upon what it says to us, and to be prepared to change. So a time of stillness, and if there are other challenges or prayers to bring them, please, if you could speak those out loudly. If it's just stillness, no problem.